No Commitments by Simon Brett, with Rosemary Leach, Celia Imrie, and Angela Thorne. Episode 4. Retiring Types.
Victoria. We had some of the senior management from Gertler over today.
Oh, yes.
You know who I mean by Gertler, don't you?
Do I?
Come on, darling. They're only one of the biggest multinationals in the food industry. They were our hosts when we had that freebie weekend in Frankfurt.
Oh, yes, of course. I like them. Mm. Lovely hotel suite, wasn't it? Mm. And that huge bouquet of flowers to welcome me when I got there.
To welcome us, actually. I think it was to welcome both of us.
Oh, Roger, surely not. The flowers were for the women.
I think they were for both of us. Germans tend to be a bit lavish when it comes to flowers, you know.
I still think they were meant for me.
Well, young Watkinson from Accounts also had flowers in his room, and he hadn't got a woman with him.
Ah.
Mind you, according to what some of the secretaries say, that's very surprised with young Watkinson. Not, of course, that I believe a word of it. Don't have people like that in the food industry. But, anyway, Gertler have been sniffing around.
Sniffing around?
Hmm. It's in the air.
What's in the air?
Talk of takeovers.
What, are you taking over Gertler?
No, Gertler taking over us.
Gosh. Good heavens, would that mean more money?
Well...
Being paid in Deutschmark could be quite good, couldn't it? Or would you be paid in euros? Probably mean a lot more freebies to Germany, wouldn't it?
It might. On the other hand...
I could quite fancy that.
On the other hand, it might mean something rather different.
Hmm?
Often, when two big companies join together, you find there's a duplication of certain posts.
Yes, I suppose you would.
So, for instance, Gertler has got a finance director, and we've got a finance director.
Well, I know that. You're it.
But the new amalgamated company might only need one person in that role.
Oh, so you'd take over the German side as well, would you?
Possibly, though I think what is probably more likely is that it'd work the other way round.
The other way round?
Yes. The Gertler's finance director would take over the whole group.
Really? But where would that leave you?
It'd leave me here, Victoria.
Here? Here?
Mm.
What, you mean all the time? But it'll be great.
Will it?
Yes, of course it will, Victoria. You and Roger will have time to do all those things you've always been promising yourselves you'd do when you had time.
Yes.
And now you've got time.
What sort of things, Anna?
Sorry?
What sort of things were you thinking of that Roger and I might have promised ourselves to do?
Obviously, that's between the two of you. Every relationship has its own different fantasies, doesn't it?
Yes. Roger's actually never been much of a one for fantasies.
You'll just have to see how things develop. You'll both have to make adjustments, obviously. Get used to being around each other again.
Hmm. You say again, but actually, Roger and I never have spent much time around each other. I mean, he always went off to work. He was working before I married him, and, well, you know, except for when he's been ill or something.
Well, you've been around each other for holidays, haven't you? And you've survived those?
Yes. Just. Anyway, how are you, Anna?
Oh, not so bad.
Are you getting over Stuart?
Oh. It's not easy. I didn't realise how much he'd become out of my thinking. I'm just getting used to the idea of not having anyone out.
Oh, it sounds bliss.
You see, when I met Stuart, I was still working for Eddie, and now Stuart's gone. I'm sort of aware for the first time that I haven't got a job either.
Time hanging heavy on your hands.
I'm keeping busy. Have you heard from Charlotte?
No, not for weeks. You?
No. When she goes quiet for this long, it often means she's got a new lover.
Or she hasn't got a new lover, and is too embarrassed by the fact to call us.
No, I must get in touch with her.
I suppose I should, too. The trouble is, whenever you get Charlotte on the phone, all you hear about is Charlotte. She has no interest in anyone else in the entire world. And the other trouble is, she never rings me. It's always on our phone bill.
I know what you mean.
Oh, good heavens.
What?
I've suddenly realised that if Roger's around at home all day, then he'll realise how much time I spend on the phone.
Oh, dear.
Not that it's a lot, but even so.
Even so. Also, of course, he'll find out what daytime television programmes you watch.
Oh, good heavens. Mind you, I do only watch things with a cultural and sociological content.
Oh, I'm sure you do. Which reminds me, isn't it time for Jerry Springer?
Oh, good Lord, yes. So it is. Oh, sorry, Anna. Mustache. Talk soon.
Goodbye. Welcome. Hello?
Anna. It's Eddie.
Oh, lovely to hear you. How are you doing?
How long have you got?
Hello?
Hello, Charlotte.
Oh, it's you.
Well, that's answered one question.
Hmm?
Victoria and I have been wondering whether you'd got a new lover.
As it happens.
Now I know you haven't.
I sometimes wonder if I ever have another lover.
Ah.
Must be awful for a woman, you know, who's always been a great beauty when her looks have gone and the men just cease to be interested.
I wouldn't say your looks had gone.
I wasn't talking about me. I was talking in general terms. It must be awful when it does happen. Oh, no. Be a few years before it happens to me.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
I can still attract the men. That's not the problem.
So is it the kind of men you attract that's the problem?
No, Anna. It's just, can I face the heartbreak again? Is it worth going through all those emotions? The excitement, the sheer heady bliss of falling in love, only for it all to crumble and fade like a cut flower in a dry vase?
I don't remember that.
Don't remember what?
The play you had that speech in.
Shut up, Anna. Why do you always have to trivialise everything?
I'm sorry. So, I gather you're on your own, Charlotte.
Oh, yes. For the rest of my life.
You haven't heard from Victoria, have you?
Oh, no, nobody ever rings me.
Well, I've been trying to get through all evening. You've been engaged for the last hour and a half.
Oh, the receiver got knocked off by a cushion. I didn't notice till just now.
But surely the phone makes a buzzing noise if it's off.
What is it, Anna? Is there some particular reason why you rang?
Not really, just for a chat, to see how you are.
Well, I'm not ill.
Good.
That's about all one can say, though.
If you haven't heard from Victoria, then you won't have heard Roger's news.
That's a contradiction in terms. Roger's not the kind of person who generates news.
Well, he does in this case. There seems a very strong likelihood that his company's going to be taken over and he'll be made redundant.
Oh, goodness. Well, that means Vicky'll have to get a job. Be a rude shock for her, wouldn't it, having to do a day's work?
Have you been working much recently, Charlotte?
Oh, don't talk to me about it. The theatre these days is just bleh.
I see. Actually, I don't think money will be a problem for Roger and Victoria. He'll get a good package.
It's all right for some, isn't it? When did you last hear of an actor getting a good package?
But you've still got lots of the money you inherited from Mummy and Daddy left, haven't you, Charlotte?
That's not the point, Anna. It's a matter of principle.
What principle?
God, you're in a picky mood this evening, aren't you?
Anyway, I think Victoria's getting a bit nervous at the prospect of Roger being around the house all the time.
Serves her right. She should have thought about that when she married him.
Oh, come on. Show a bit of sympathy.
Why? When does anyone ever show any sympathy to me?
For what?
Sorry?
What do you need sympathy for?
Everything. You are in a silly mood this evening, Anna.
Right. But you can understand why Victoria's worried, can't you?
Ooh, yes. The thought of having Roger on tap 24 hours a day is absolutely terrifying. Hell, as Jean-Paul Gaultier said, is other people.
I think it was Jean-Paul Sartre.
Oh, well, it was one of the Jean-Pauls. Anyway, I'd love to hear, Anna, get all your news.
Oh, I forgot. There actually was a special reason why I rang.
Really?
I was wondering if you could come to dinner next Friday.
Why?
Because it would be lovely to see you.
Why, really?
Oh, all right. I've invited Eddie.
The dentist?
Yes.
I thought once you stopped working for that creep, he'd mercifully vanished out of your life.
No, he rang and he sounded so... Oh, I don't know.
Unpleasant? As he usually sounded.
No, he sounded low. And he and his wife, Jan, don't get out a lot. Rather than staying at home and getting on each other's nerves, I thought it would be good for them to get out and see some new people.
So that they can get on some new people's nerves instead?
No, Charlotte, it won't
be. And you're hoping I'll be one of these new people, is that it?
Yes, if you're free. Roger and Victoria are coming, and
Sounds like a really dreary evening.
Hopefully not. But anyway, I gather from your reaction that you won't be coming?
Oh, no, I'll come. Nobody else ever invites me out.
I'll be able to play more golf.
Yes.
Mm.
How much more golf?
Oh, quite a bit more, I should think. There.
Thank you. What, like every day?
Well, I don't know about that.
What? What do you want? For me to set off to the golf club at the same time every morning as if I was still commuting?
Well, it would give a kind of shape to your days, wouldn't it?
Yes, except the appeal of being retired is the freedom it offers. The fact that one's days don't have any shape. You're a free agent. You can go anywhere, do anything, whenever you want to.
Do you think you'd really like that, Roger?
No, I'd hate it.
Anna was saying that when you're retired, we'll have time to do all those things we've always been promising ourselves we'd do when we have time.
Mm.
And soon we'll have time.
Mm. What sort of things, Victoria?
Sorry?
What sort of things were you thinking of that you and I might have promised ourselves to do?
Well, of course there are benefits for a woman having a husband around the house all day.
Oh, yes.
Fiona down the road, you know, whose husband Tom's a children's book illustrator and works from home, said it was wonderful to have him there when the kids were small. She could nip out to Sainsbury's while they were having their sleeps, or go and have her hair cut, or go out for coffee with a chum, and there was someone always there in case they woke up.
Mm, jolly good, yes, I can see the benefits of that. On the other hand, even Benji's 15 now. Three of them are out at school all day.
Yes.
Mm.
Fiona says the other bonus to having Tom around all day is that they get the odd spontaneous afternoon quickie.
Oh, a quickie what?
Well, you know.
That.
Fiona says they've had some amazing times up against his drawing board.
Have they?
Mm. Apparently, once he had to completely redo all the artwork for Prickly Hedgehog Buys a Lollipop.
Did he?
Hmm. Though, of course, with us, these days we don't seem to do much of that sort of thing. Even at the more traditional times, do we? Well, you know, in bed. Mind you, we might find that with the change of circumstances, you know, the chance to do it at different times, in different places. I've read a book which says that that can really revitalize a marriage.
Well, I certainly intend to play a lot more golf.
What time did you say the ghastly Eddie and Jan are coming?
I asked them for 8.
I hope you didn't mind us coming down a bit earlier.
No, it's fine.
We're not in the way here, are we?
No.
God, I've had such a week. What have you done? You haven't been working, have you?
No, but as an actress, one always has to be holding oneself in readiness to work, and that's what makes it stressful.
Huh, you don't know the meaning of the word stressful.
What, you mean compared to the stresses of being a housewife, always holding oneself in readiness to do a major shop at Sainsbury's?
Charlotte.
Aye, you two. Listen, this evening is going to be quite difficult enough with Eddie and Jan. I can't be worrying about you two sniping away at each other as well. So, if you have anything nasty to say to each other, get it out of your system now, before my guests arrive.
All right.
And, Victoria, you say Roger's coming straight from the office?
Yes, his department's got a meeting with the Gertler people after work.
A meeting that I dare say just happens to be taking place in a pub.
No, as a matter of fact, it isn't. It's in one of the office hospitality suites.
Still involves drinking, though. I'd be worried if a man of mine put away as much as Roger does these days.
I'm sure you would. However, the fact remains that none of your men have stayed around long enough for you to notice how much they were drinking.
Vicky?
Oi. Repetition of same warning as before. All this must cease as soon as Eddie and Jan arrive.
Yes, well, they're not here yet, are they? You say none of my men stay around, Vicky. Don't you think that may be preferable to having one man around all the time, particularly when the man in question is Roger?
As a matter of fact, Charlotte, I'm very much looking forward to having Roger around more of the time.
Why?
Because then we'll have time to do all those things we've always been promising ourselves we'd do when we have time.
Like what?
Well, that's obviously between the two of us, isn't it? Every relationship has its own different fantasies, doesn't it?
Can't imagine Roger ever having any fantasies that don't involve drinking or golf.
Which just goes to show how little you know my husband.
A dispensation for which I thank God on my knees hourly.
Listen, Charlotte. I really will...
All right, that's it. Not a word more out of either of you. Eddie and Jan have arrived.
Bitch. Cow.
Just coming, Eddie. Eddie, good evening.
Hiya, Anna.
Now, listen, while Jan's parking the car, I'd just like to say that I want this to be a really lovely evening for both of you.
Oh, it will be.
How do you know?
Because I've left Jan at home.
Ah. And as a matter of fact,
Roger and I are feeling very positive about the prospects, aren't we, Roger?
What? I say, very positive about whatever it was Victoria was talking about.
Did you actually hear what I was talking about?
No.
Oh.
But the wonderful thing about having been married for so long is you have a kind of telepathy. Do you know? You know what your spouse is about to say without needing to put it into words. Do you find that, Eddie? Do you find that you and Jan can read each other's thoughts?
I bloody hope not. Otherwise, she'd be asking for 24-hour police protection.
Anyway, Eddie, I never heard. Who's taken over the practice?
Nobody.
Oh?
Nobody seems to want to buy it.
Maybe the asking price is too high.
Well, the asking price for the premises is fine. It's what I'm asking for the other bit that people will pay.
What other bit is that?
The goodwill.
Ah, yes. Well, I see your problem.
Why don't they want to pay for the goodwill?
Obviously, because there isn't any.
Still, I'm sure the practice will sell in time.
Oh, I don't know. I've even thought of going back to work there.
What, and give up the benefits of your hard-won retirement?
Benefits of retirement? Name one.
Well,
of course, actors never really retire. We just play older parts, and yet why? There's a terrible ageism in our business. You know, a part comes up for a new Baldishy 20-year-old, and 9 directors out of 10 immediately cast a new Baldishy 20-year-old to play. Why?
Well, presumably because she's new, banal, and dishy.
But that's so obvious. Any mould-breaking director, any director with a bit of imagination would realise how much more resonance would be brought to a role like that by casting a more mature actress.
Mm. In spite of the fact that the more mature actress might look a bit gnarled for the part?
I don't look gnarled. I'm talking about me.
Oh, there's a novelty.
Anyway, I'm not here to trade cheap insults.
Good.
All I'm saying is that acting is in the head, not in a body. You think yourself into your character, and that thought process hasn't got nothing to do with your chronological age. You know, I've still got a coy and virginal Juliet within my grasp.
I wish I had.
Roger.
Eddie, you were talking about the benefits of retirement.
Well, no, I'm saying that there weren't any.
Well, of course, I just didn't
retire. Well, I mean, look at it objectively. The first thing retirement says is you're past it. Some task which, for a time, you were able to do with a degree of competence. But now, thank you very much, you're surplus to requirements. We've found somebody younger and cheaper to perform your tasks with the same or probably a higher level of competence. Thank you very much. Here's your engraved barometer and get lost. Hardly means that you start retirement brimming with confidence, does it?
No, but retirement does give you the bonus of time.
To do what with?
Well, all those things that... Roger and I are very much looking forward to having time to do all those things we've always been promising ourselves we'd do when we had time.
Like what?
Well, lots of things. You know the sort of things, don't you, Roger?
Sorry?
I was just telling Eddie, darling, about all those things we'd always promised ourselves we'd do when we had time.
Ah.
And which, when you're retired, we will have time for.
Ah.
And I said you'd tell Eddie what those things were.
Golf. Golf, yes, play a lot more golf.
I didn't know you played golf, Victoria.
I don't.
You see, the other thing about being retired is that it puts great pressure on your relationship. Now, I mean, John and I, though we can't stand the sight of each other, never could. At some point we should get together and work out how it was we ever came to get married. Except it's difficult to do that when you're not speaking to each other. Well, now, if you think that situation's bad, when one of you's out of work 10 hours a day, imagine what it's like when you're both there all the time.
Oh, Eddie, I'm sure we'd all much rather talk
now,
about
it. I mean, I don't know anything about your marriage, Victoria. I'm sure it's wonderful and it really works. But I think that retirement would put strains on even the most wonderful marriage in the world. And if there's even the tiniest crack in the relationship, well, being around the house all day will put like a wee wedge into that crack in the relationship and make the rift get bigger and bigger. Now, don't worry, Victoria. I'm sure you and Roger have got a really great marriage and you won't have any problems like that.
Shut up! Roger, tell Charlotte to shut up!
Oh, good old Roger. Always got the right words for the occasion, hasn't he?
Charlotte, don't you dare criticise my husband.
Ow!
Ow!
dear, I'm sorry. This must be the worst social event of your life.
Don't you believe it, Anna? I haven't had so much fun since the night Jan's brakes went and she drove her mother into the river.
Changed. A bit more dust. But that wouldn't take much cleaning up.
Right. Everything's still here. The full dental torture kit. I've been thinking of starting up again, Anna.
Well, I know.
And get me out of Jan's hair. And give me something to do. All that business about retirement giving you the opportunity to pursue other interests. I don't have any other interests.
No.
Not even that keen on dentistry.
Hmm?
Yeah. If I did go back, Anna, would you be my receptionist again? Oh, maybe you've enjoyed retirement more than I have.
Oh, I have enjoyed it, yes. I've enjoyed having no commitments. And then, for a while, it looked as if I might be making a big commitment. Mm. And yes, Eddie. I'll come back in with you.
Thanks.
You sound relieved.
Oh, not half as relieved as Jan will be when she hears the news. Give her back those precious daytime hours when she doesn't have to see my face.
Oh. I've often wondered, Eddie, why you and Jan have stayed together all these years.
Oh, there are a couple of reasons.
Is it religious? Are you a Catholic?
No, I'm not a Catholic. I'm a masochist, though.
Well, that's one reason. What's the other?
I love her.
Ah.
Well, the decision's been made.
What decision?
The Gutler takeover decision.
And?
And? Do you know, over the last few weeks, I've become quite reconciled to the idea of retiring.
Oh?
Chance to play more golf.
Yes.
You and me having the time to do all those things that we always promised ourselves but never had time to do.
Hmm.
That is, of course, when we remember what all those things were. Well, Victoria, old thing, I don't know how to break this to you.
What?
Gertler's, I'm afraid, caught a bit of a cold in the Far East meltdown. Now, actually, can you catch a cold in a meltdown? Or isn't it meltdown?
Oh, Roger, what are you trying to tell me?
The Gertler takeover's off.
Yippee!
What?
Well, that is to say, yippee in the sense that I thought you were too young for the scrap heap, and I think you've got years more useful work in you, during which time your skills and experience will be entirely invaluable to the company.
Well, yes, of course, that is true.
And you know the downturn. Well, I'll just have to come to terms with that. The fact that I won't have your company around the house so much, the fact that we won't have time to, you know, do all those things that we've always promised ourselves we'd do when we have time.
It's tough, but as you say, we'll just have to come to terms with it.
Hmm.
Anyway, I thought this was a cause for celebration. So here's a bottle of champagne, just for you and me.
Oh, Roger, that's very generous of you.
Well, not that generous, actually. I nicked it from the office where there was a bit of a booze-up because of the Gertler situation. Still, it's the thought that counts, eh?
Oh, certainly. Incidentally, Roger, before you do actually retire,
yes,
I think we should work out some things to promise ourselves.
What?
Things to promise ourselves to do when we've got time to do them. Because this time, well, you know when it looked likely you were about to retire, we were rather caught on the hop, weren't we?
Well, I suppose we were.
In terms of having things we'd promised ourselves to do when we had time.
Yes.
Well, we hadn't got any, had we?
No.
I know what. I'll put a list up on the bulletin board in the kitchen.
Ah.
And then we can note down our ideas for things we've always promised ourselves as and when we have them.
Good idea, yes. I'll give it some thought.
So will I.
Well, cheers.
Cheers.
Mm. Ah. I was thinking...
Yes?
About prickly hedgehog... buys a lollipop.
What?
Do you know, that chum of yours whose husband illustrates children's books?
Oh, yes.
And how they have spontaneous quickies at unconventional times. Well, I haven't got a drawing board. But I'm sure we could improvise.
Roger! You don't mean here?
Well, why not?
Well, we've just had the sofa upholstered, for one thing.
Oh, right. We do have other rooms in this house, though.
Yes, like our bedroom, for a start.
Or the utility room.
The utility room?
Mm.
Roger. The utility room.
What do you say, then? A nice, spontaneous quickie in the utility room.
I say, wonderful, Roger. All I've got to do is put on a face, turn down the oven so that the cash flow doesn't spoil.
What?
Give Anna a quick call and I'll be yours in the utility room.
Do you know what the word spontaneous means, Victoria?
And I'll be going to work for Eddie again.
So it'll be like the last 9 months never happened.
Yes. Except for Stuart, of course.
Oh, but you'll soon get over him when you're back at work full time.
Maybe.
Anyway, I must dash. Roger and I have promised ourselves an early night.
This early? It isn't 8 o'clock yet, Victoria. Well, good for you.
Yes.
And I'm really delighted that Roger won't be retiring yet a while.
Yes, yes. Obviously, it's a huge relief. But,
But what?
Well, it's still going to happen one day, isn't it?
Sufficient unto that day.
Yes. All we've got to do is to think of some things to promise ourselves we're going to do when we've got time.
What?
Anyway, mustache, lots of love, Anna. Bye.
Bye.
Roger. Roger, I... Oh, Roger.
No Commitments starred Rosemary Leach as Anna, Celia Imrie as Charlotte, and Angela Thorne as Victoria. With Bill Nye as Roger and James Green as Eddie. No Commitments was written by Simon Brett and produced by Maria Esposito.